The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Taoiseach has reopened the Pandora's box, that is GAA Go. He commented about the manner in which the GAA Go had presented games this season. He said, "Don't listen to me if you don't want, that's grand, but please do listen to the grassroots of the GAA. Far more people are disappointed with how this season has been shown in terms of GAA Go." And he says that in his view, the GAA has gotten it wrong in respect of the streaming service. I'm joined by James E. O'Connor, former All-Ireland winner with Clare, and Sean Kelly, former GAA president and Fine Gael MEP. So there you go, the leader of your current organisation criticising the organisation you formerly led. Is he right, Sean?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. A lot of people were taken by surprise and disappointed that games that would traditionally have been on TV weren't available on free to air this year. And it discommoded a lot of people, especially the elderly, who had difficulty, even if they wanted to join GAA Go, of accessing it. And often, even from a practical point of view, those who did often had difficulties in getting continuous coverage because of interference. So, yes, in that sense, a lot of people were disappointed. The president of GAA, Jared Burden, said that they needed a package where there'd be very attractive games and not so attractive games on it, so people would buy them. And they needed the money to redevelop grounds. But I think now it's important that they would really look and assess the season when it's over and consult, particularly with the grassroots, the clubs, and maybe see where they can move forward to better facilitate spectators and supporters, but also, I think, look at particularly, I would say, the promotion of the game and the limitations of not having it on free-to-air.
But sorry, is it not a binary choice? I mean, whatever about the broader analysis they do, do you not come back to it's either free-to-air or it's not?
Well, it comes back to the media rights which the GAA sold, and they're probably tied into it for the moment. But I've said that initially giving so much control to RTE is a very bad thing. I don't like monopolies in any walk of life. They're not good. And RTE have virtual monopoly at the moment. Now, maybe that's not the fault of the GAA, but certainly that's something that needs to be looked at, because you do need an opportunity to spread the games as much as possible. And if there are alternatives, then you have to use them. And the whole question of promotion, and particularly getting people maybe who'll be kind of neutral, they watch your games, they'll watch it on TV, but they won't go and buy it in GAA Go. And for instance, if you take what's going on at the moment, the Euro soccer, how many people would actually be watching that if they had to pay for it by going to Soccer Go, whatever you call it? So that whole question of promotion, I think that's something that needs to be looked at very strongly from the GAA as well.
I would have thought you're in a bit of a unique moment in time in relation to influence over whether or not there's free-to-air GAA, given that your government has its foot firmly on the throat of RTE currently. Could you not make it a precondition of release of funding that part of the public service remit is providing the nation's sport free-to-air to the people who want to see it?
Well, yes, that's one side of the coin. But you'd also, of course, have to look at the GAA, because the GAA controls the sale of the media rights. So I think everybody getting around the table, as you said, looking at it, see the finance modelling that's required, see what's the best thing to do. Because what we have to be very conscious of is that we are unique in the sense that only a population of 5 million to have two such fantastic games being the premier games in a country. That happens nowhere else. But at the same time, there's huge competition for the hearts and minds of young people. And that's something you kind of take for granted. So limiting the opportunity to promote it, you could lose very quickly a generation of players who now will say, for instance, would be captivated by the Euro soccer on the television every night and not having the same opportunity to see our games when we're actually in the height of the season and the season is almost over. So I think that's something that has to be really looked at and assessed.
James E. O'Connor, as I said, is with us, former All-Ireland winner with Clare. James E., it may not be today or tomorrow, but is there a potential vista down the track where because of the rapidly reducing cost of the kind of equipment it takes to broadcast a game, you could have actually a far greater suite of streaming GAA and a far greater amount of matches available for people in local communities if you keep it off free-to-air, whereas free-to-air demands relatively limited channels and therefore it's only the slightly larger games that get on.
Well, I think, Anton, there's been an explosion in the number of games. I mean, the Munster Championship, when you know I played and it was straight knockout, four games. Under the round robin, the number of games has almost trebled to 11. So, and you know, you factor in that Galway are now in Leinster, Antrim playing Leinster, you know, there's six teams there. So, again, do the sums. There are significantly more games than would have been the case a number of years ago. And the reality is RTE can show all the games. Now, obviously, the controversy this year, and Gerald Burns was pretty honest in that regard, that, look, it was a commercial decision. You know, this has to wash its face financially. The numbers have to add up. And on that basis, they felt they had to put certain games, you know, behind the paywall. And they maybe got unlucky that the Cork-Limerick game was such an epic, you know, one of the greatest games of hurling arguably ever played. It was fantastic. But Cork supporters in particular have to be annoyed, because the Clare game was also behind the paywall. That was another outstanding match. And their first game against Waterford was also on GAA Go. So I think really the problem has been that some of the hurling matches, particularly those big Munster Championship matches, you know, were not only fantastic games, but they weren't shown you know, on free tier. And that's probably what has got the public's back up, and particularly maybe the Cork public's back up. But the reality
but sir,
is that there are just too many games.
Indeed, but is the Taoiseach right in saying that the GAA got it wrong on that, or was that just bad luck that what ended up being cracking games happened to not be on free to air and that was unpredictable?
A little bit of bad luck. I mean, Limerick put Cork to the sores relatively easy 2 years ago in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. You know, it was a relatively dull affair. But I mean, their game last year was a cracker, and it would have been anticipated that, you know, Cork weren't going to be too far away again this year. So yeah, decisions need to be made. But another factor, Ivan, Anton, at the moment is that football as a spectacle is arguably in trouble, because in terms of entertainment, you know, even the games of the weekend, you know, it's boring, it's dull, it's nigh unwatchable, and people arguably aren't going to be, they're voting with their feet in terms of attendances are way down anyway, but they're not going to be prepared, I think, to pay for the product, given how boring football has become at the moment. And that's obviously a story for another day, and I know Jim Gavin is part of a group that's looking at that, and it'll be really interesting to see what they come up with. But on one level, Ivan, or Anton, I bought
just
the
go with Ivan.
I
left, it'll save us time, James.
I left to stop calling you Ivan, listening to him earlier from back Kenny. But I bought the GAA Go this year, paid €79 for it, and I think it's a good product. Gráinne McIlwain has been excellent fronting it. They've had good analysts on. I've relatively good broadband. You know, but I get the point that Sean is making, that it's, you know, for people, elderly people in particular, with smart TVs required, they may not be tech savvy. And the games are really important for those people. And it's not perfect. And the GAA hasn't got it all, certainly all right. But I don't think they've got it all wrong either.
Texts say GAA Go went to the GAA club to watch the Dubs match Saturday evening. Stream buffering all the time. Fantastic suspense. Injury time, 3 minutes to go. And one man pipes up, phone in hand. Well, I'll be happy when the whistle goes. Meanwhile, he saw the result on his phone. Ruined. Won't watch GAA Go again. The GAA players are not professional players and like soccer and rugby. GAA Go is making financial gain for all purposes, professional gain on volunteer effort. So who's benefiting? Let me go back to you on that one, Sean, because it's always the perennial tension within the GAA. You say the GAA has to act commercially. Is it leaning too heavily on its commercial desires when at its heart it is meant to be a societal and amateur organisation?
Yeah, and that's the question that they will have to pose now, particularly, as James has said, with so many things coming together. You have the wonderful games of hurling, then you have the terrible games of football, you have then the condensed season, so all can't be available together. In fact, it's so condensed now that there's hardly time to build up from one game to another. So all that has to be looked at. And in fairness to the GAA authorities, all that has come about in the last couple of years. So they'll have to reassess how it's working out, but also not forget how we cater for our supporters and how we cater for those who cannot access the games through GAA Go, etc. And also how we're going to ensure that the next generation of young people will be as committed to the games as the present and future and the previous generations. So there's a lot there to be discussed. I think it can be discussed, it can be retrieved. But then, of course, when it comes to the next media rights, you're absolutely right. You have to look at all the channels available and to see how you can work them to get the best possible deal for the GAA, obviously commercially, but also catering for supporters and the growth of the game.
Sean and Jamesy, thank you both very much. Sean Kelly, former GAA president, now Fine Gael MEP, and Jamesy O'Connor, former All-Ireland winner with Clare. More and more texts coming in. Why doesn't the government fund a special free-to-air channel for GAA with a red button format that you can choose what match you want to watch? We already fund RTE with our licence fee. We shouldn't have to pay twice to watch a match. Anton, it's long past time that RTE had a dedicated sports channel which would allow a lot of extra broadcast capacity on weekends to show games. Don't tell me in this digital age that this would be too difficult to do. Just needs the will behind it.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.